Welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress. The people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, the future of blocks outside of WordPress. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that by searching for WP Tavern in your podcast player of choice, or by going to wptavern.com/feed/podcast. And you can copy that URL into most podcast players. I'd really like to hear from anyone out there who would like to come onto the podcast and talk about whatever it is that you do with WordPress. It might be that you're a developer, a WordCamp organizer, a contributor, a designer. Honestly, if it's about WordPress, I'm keen to hear from you and hopefully get you on the show. Head over to wptavern.com/contact/jukebox and use the contact form there. So on the podcast today, we have Leonardo Lozovic. He's here to talk about the block protocol. Ever since WordPress 5.0 was released several years ago, we've been using blocks to create content inside of WordPress. More and more blocks have been developed to manage the creation of content and the display of this content on the front end. With WordPress 5.9, anyone using a block-based theme is able to manage more of their site with blocks, the header, the footer, menus, and more. It's a real shift in the way that content and sites are created, and puts the end user in control of the way that their website looks. But the content that you create with your WordPress blocks are limited to your website. It's not just WordPress that's using blocks, though. Go to almost any modern SaaS app and you'll see content blocks in use. It's such an easy process to understand. You want text? Use a text block. Perhaps an image? Well, use the image block. In this way, non-technical users can build up their content easily. For obvious reasons, every app and CMS which is using blocks has built their own implementation for their own needs, the needs of their users and their customers. The block protocol is a new attempt to unify the way that blocks work, so that if you create a block on your WordPress site, the same content could be consumed and used elsewhere, seamlessly. The reverse would be true as well. If you stop to think about it, this is a really powerful idea. Leonardo talks to us today about the block protocol, what it is, and how it might work. We discuss some of the benefits that the protocol might bring, as well as some of the barriers which are undoubtedly in the way of its development and adoption. Who might benefit from using such a protocol, and whether or not we can realistically expect this to be implemented in the near future. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find all the links in the show notes. Head over to wptavern.com/podcast and look for episode number 18. And so, without further delay, I bring you Leonardo Lozovic. I am joined on the podcast today by Leonardo Lozovic. Hello, Leonardo.
Hey, Nathan, how are you?
Very good. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We'll get stuck into the main content a little bit later. We're going to be talking today about something called the block protocol. But before that, a little introduction from you, Leonardo, if that's okay. How come you're on a WordPress podcast? What is it that draws you to WordPress? Are you a coder, a developer? What's your background with tech?
I'm a developer. I've been working with WordPress since 2012, I believe. And I have a plugin that is a GraphQL server for WordPress, and I work with that pretty much every day. And as I develop the plugin, I have insights on other topics. So in particular, this one of the block protocol is one of the things that I could connect to because of my background with GraphQL.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, I'm going to draw everybody's attention to an article. I will link to it in the show notes. So if you're not familiar, go to wptavern.com/podcast and today's episode will be listed there. And in that set of show notes will be links to all of the bits and pieces that we happen to mention today. And the first one is an article that you wrote on the Smashing magazine website called Implications of WordPress Joining the Block Protocol. This is an idea that was raised really recently, the idea being that there is this third-party idea. It's not a WordPress idea, and it's called the block protocol. Would you just like to, very in the broadest possible terms, just tell us what the block protocol is?
All right, I will try my best.
Thank you.
So the block protocol is an idea to get blocks to be interoperable between different applications. So right now when we are using WordPress, we have the WordPress editor, we are composing a blog post with blocks. And since the latest version of WordPress, version 5.9, we can also create layouts. We can create the full site via what's called the full site editor via blocks. Now, these blocks that we're using on WordPress, they can only be used in WordPress. So there's this guy, Joel Spolky, a very famous guy. He created Stack Overflow, if I'm not wrong.
He did?
So he came up with this idea called the block protocol. And the idea would be to get the blocks, in this case from WordPress, but from any other software too, and to port them into whichever other application, be based on WordPress or not. So the idea is that now we can reuse blocks among applications, the same way that we can reuse components, like JavaScript components nowadays. So if, for instance, you're a React developer, and possibly you have coded a component for React, and then you have another website for another client, you can reuse the same component. So the idea is to do something similar with blocks, that you have developed a block for your WordPress site, and the day of tomorrow you have a different application which is based on Node.js or on a different CMS, and you want to reuse the same block that you have for your WordPress site. With the block protocol, you could do that.
So everybody, I would imagine, who's listening to this podcast has some familiarity with the new block editor. That is to say, rewind to WordPress 5.0 in com blocks. Blocks are now the way that we create all content, and increasingly the way that we create everything around our website, especially with the 5.9 release and full site editing and so on. But what may not be obvious to most users is that content is completely siloed within WordPress. So as you just described, if you create some text or you create an image, you are really going to struggle in any meaningful way to take that and put it somewhere else. The best you can really hope for is going in and copying and putting it into your clipboard on your computer and then going and pasting it elsewhere. But the intention, I believe, of the block protocol is to make it so that applications, no matter where they are based, they'll be able to communicate with each other, and the picture that you put inside of Gutenberg would be available to some other piece of software that's nothing to do with WordPress. Have I more or less summed it up there?
Yeah, what you have to take into account is that with the blocks, you create content. So when we're talking about content, you can copy paste it into a different application. It's all HTML at the end of the day. It will work here, it will work there. But blocks, we're talking about functionality, about being able to use that functionality to create the content in first place. So think of any block that you might actually think of, say a Google map that you can point and click on the map, and then you have the location that you want to display. So this is functionality. Like behind the functionality, you will be producing HTML, which is the embedding of the Google map. But you'll need to know how to code the HTML to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to do it with a WYSIWYG that is visual, that you click on a dynamic map. This functionality is the block, and this is the functionality that we want to port across applications. So this is more than content.
Perfect. Thank you so much for clarifying that. Okay, the article at the beginning, you go in to explain how Joel Spolsky, he has got this project called the block protocol. And again, I will link in the show notes to that so you can go and find the website there. There's a fairly impressive website where they explain things in pretty good detail with lots of documentation and so on. But the reason that we're talking is that it would appear that fairly recently, Matt Mullenweg reached out to Joel. I don't know if it was that way around or Joel reaching out to Matt, but either way, some conversation began. I believe it was perhaps on Twitter, where Matt was essentially saying, look, it would be really interesting if we could make all of this work with Gutenberg blocks. So in other words, why don't we see if there's some possibility of making your block protocol and WordPress work together so that stuff can egress and enter WordPress websites to other different parts of the web. Now, in order to understand this better, you then went on to explain how a block is actually created. You've got this paragraph entitled, What is a Block? And I think for most users of WordPress, if you're a developer, this obviously would be different. But if you're a casual user of WordPress, or you're a publisher or an implementer, it might be that in the block editor, you just see the block and it's a little rectangular icon and you click the button and it comes onto the website. Of course, there's a lot of incredible technology going on in the background. And I just wonder if you could explain to those of us who don't necessarily understand, what is a block? What's actually going on in the background?
All right. If you do not understand what a block is, that's good. You do not need to understand. All you need to do is to be able to use it. So this is complex in the sense that, you know, the simpler something is to be used, the more difficult it is to implement, which is the great thing about Apple products, you know, that the box is just white. But that wideness, they have a huge team of designers to come up with. So the block, if you're able to use the WordPress editor, then the block already succeeded. You don't need to understand how it works or what it is, apart from the fact that you need to use it to create content, which is in this case to write a blog post, or since the latest version of WordPress, to create the full the overall site just by clicking at elements. So then what is a block? It's a concept. It's a unit of something, in this case it's code, that you interact with to create content on the site. If you're a developer, you will be developing blogs. You can be a designer and then you will be applying styles to blogs. But at the end of the day, it's a concept. It's not really an implementation. It's just this idea of what you said just now, like a square, that you click on the square possibly and something will happen on the website. You will have created content. So yeah, it's one of those things that now it appears everywhere because WordPress is trying to make it widespread. This is what Matt Muhlenweg had attempted to do with his concept of reducing the different interfaces that we have to interact with. So in the past with WordPress, you could create content via shortcodes or with the classic editor or with the customizer. The block replaces all of this. The idea is that you had to learn only one thing, which is the block, the interface with the block. And you're able to create your website, whatever it is that you need to create. Maybe you want to add a video, you want to embed a picture, something very simple. But now also we have more functionality like editing pictures and possibly even editing videos in the future. It's taking more roles. It's like an application to create content.
This approach is absolutely lovely. You've got a nice little graphic on your website where you talk about the fact that the block is kind of a container for all sorts of child components. So you could have all sorts of different things inside your block. So a block doesn't just have to be one simple thing. It could be a multitude of layered things which could become incredibly complicated. But the point is the block encapsulates them all, but it's siloed within WordPress. You can't easily get it out. And well, maybe there are ways that you can get it out, but it's not relatively straightforward for the likes of me. So along comes Joel Spolsky with his block protocol. And the idea is that he would like all of these different bits and pieces to be interoperable so that a block on WordPress might be able to interact. And I believe on the article that you wrote, you mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned a SaaS product called Notion, which is a bit like a note-taking app, but it's much more complicated than that. You can do all sorts of things like add bullet lists and what have you. And the premise, therefore, would be, well, wouldn't it be great if we could take the content that we've created inside of Gutenberg, inside of WordPress, and we could just have it so that it was completely interoperable and it was transparent and you could throw it over, for example, to Notion or anything else. So is that the dream here? Is that what Joel and his block protocol is trying to enable, to make there a standard set of ways of doing things such that everything, everywhere can communicate with anything else?
Yeah, you said just right. It is a dream. It's something that seems to be a bit out of reach. So far, it's a potential. It's an idea. But from idea to implementation, it's a long road. In particular, I don't think that Notion will want to be part of this movement because there's nothing in it for them. I believe that Notion has spent so much time and money developing their own blogs. So I don't see why they will be sharing them with the wider world. Basically, if they give us their blogs, we can embed them in our WordPress site and recreate Notion. And this is the same with Medium. I don't see them participating in this idea. Now, they could still use it because a blog protocol is a protocol. You can use it for your own internal use. That means that Medium or Notion, they could have sub-applications, or they could have their own internal team, their own development team, that they have internal applications, and they could use the blog protocol to reuse their own blogs within their own applications. But that will not be shared with us. We are using WordPress, and I don't expect to have Notion give the WordPress users access to their blogs.
Yeah, so I guess where you've got a proprietary piece of software and their way of creating revenue, I suppose, is on the system that they've built with components and blocks and the ability to have a beautiful UI and all of that. It's unlikely in your estimation that they would wish to become part of this because it removes that unique value proposition. If it's simple to put that data in exactly the same form elsewhere, it's unlikely that they would want to be a part of that because it upsets their business model. However, that being said, all is not lost. The block protocol opens up the opportunity for lots of different scenarios, not necessarily the SaaS proprietary platforms that we mentioned. But in your piece, you go on to describe in quite a large amount of detail the types of people, teams and applications and so on that you feel the block protocol would fit well with. So should we just delve into this? Who might want to use the block protocol?
Okay, first one is if you do not have money, which is quite a general condition for a lot of startups, then you will want to use the block protocol to use blocks already developed by somebody else that you can just customize for your own use. And this is important because coding blocks is labor intensive. You need a dedicated team, and that's money and that's time. Think about WordPress. The WordPress editor, up to now, it took 5 years. It had been started 5 years ago. And now, only now, after 5 years, we have full-site editing. I believe that was not the idea. When they launched it at the very beginning, when they were planning at the very beginning, they had never expected that it would take 5 years to be at this stage. It took that time because high-quality software takes time to produce. Think about the accessibility issues that it was having at the very beginning, which were fixed, but it took time. So once again, if you want to create a website using blocks and you had to create it from scratch, then you're going to be spending a lot of money. Now, you could alternatively, depend on the block protocol, use the blocks by WordPress and just customize them for your own application. So that's the first one. The second one is if you have a website that you want it to be fancy or you want it to be appealing, like Medium, like Notion, but it's kind of falling behind because, you know, I mean, we all share the same users. So I think that Facebook, when it came out, it was a sort of tragedy for website developers who didn't have a lot of money to hire a team because people were expecting the same quality as Facebook, like interactivity, dynamic functionality, and all of that. Eventually, they released React, and we could do the same, but it takes time and it takes effort. So then, once again, you need to compete against these guys. If your website is not looking good, you will fall behind. Nobody is going to come to your website anymore. And nowadays, the technology barrier is quite high in the sense. Design is so amazing. Some websites out there are so amazing. And they're all for free. So if somebody developed really nice looking blocks and you don't want to fall behind, you can just use it. So in my article, I was using MailChimp as an example, because the MailChimp editor for creating the newsletters, it's kind of falling behind a bit. I had noticed that they were experimenting with a new editor, which was similar to the WordPress editor. I cannot find it anymore. It was buggy and I just couldn't use it for long. I reverted back to their current experience. So I was wondering if MailChimp could benefit from using the WordPress blogs. So as you can see, WordPress, MailChimp is a multi-billion company. Like it was sold $10 billion. Recently or something like that. So they could benefit from this. Then I believe that other content management systems, in particular, I quote Drupal, they could use it because Drupal has already expressed interest in using Gutenberg, in using the WordPress editor for creating content. So now with the blog protocol, it will be easier to achieve this. The reason why it will be easier is because WordPress right now, when it develops the WordPress editor, they don't need to care about anyone. They just care about themselves. So at the same time that you create the functionality on the client side, all the dynamic stuff, the layouts and everything, there has to be a backend that can feed that functionality. So we have the WordPress REST API. So whenever you have a new blog, possibly the blog will need a new REST endpoint to fetch data and interact with the server. All of that is happening on WordPress, and WordPress needs to certify it. But right now, WordPress only cares about WordPress. As long as WordPress can certify its own requirements, then it's good to go. So Drupal right now needs to be catching up with WordPress all the time. If WordPress 5.8 comes out and Drupal catches up with it, and then on WordPress 5.9, they change the API, and there have been a bit of changes lately, then Drupal will need to also change its own API to catch up. So it's a lot of effort to be playing catch up all the time. But if they go through the blog protocol, WordPress cannot go it alone anymore. They will need to satisfy a requirement imposed by a third party. So then Drupal could say, okay, now I don't need to pay attention to WordPress anymore. All I need to do is to satisfy this contract with these clear guidelines set up by the third party. And as long as I do this, and WordPress does the same, then I can use WordPress blocks without having to be always running behind them. So I think this could be a good thing for Drupal in particular, because they showed interest, and in general, any content management system. And finally, I said that open source projects, they could use this, because that will have happened already with components. So if you're a React developer and you want to have a select dropdown, you don't need to code it from scratch. You just go to npm to the registry, and you can search React dropdown or React select. And that will be like quite a few components that we can download, you can install, and you can have in your application. So a block, it's also a component. It's a high-level component, which has a definite functionality and is trying to achieve a certain goal. So I can see that if this happened in the past with components, it will also happen in the future with blocks. That developers will create blocks which can be used by anyone. Think of blocks like modifying, like editing video or editing images, or whatever it is really, games. They could actually create games and publish them on blocks as blocks, and then any website could embed them on their own application.
It's a really nice list. I can really see exactly what you're talking about, especially the sort of time-saving, labor-saving aspects of this. You know, teams who have a modest budget, who can just leverage things which have already been built and contributed out as open source blocks within this block protocol. It'd be really useful. And like you say, applications where the constraints of money or perhaps experience are going to cause it to be really difficult to get over the line. And if you can then just dip into a bunch of pre-built blocks that other people have already committed, that would be brilliant. And like you say, content management systems and the one that you mentioned, Drupal, who've gone out of their way to kind of link with Gutenberg and make their own module so that they can use Gutenberg. Yeah, it's really interesting. All of that, though, is about the benefits, I guess, to people if WordPress were to adopt this. So this is about people gaining a benefit. But you go on to describe it in the opposite direction. You talk about the benefits to the WordPress project of the block protocol. Do you want to just explain your reasoning behind that? What are the benefits? What are the benefits that would be brought to WordPress as a whole by the block protocol?
All right. The first thing I believe is that WordPress will keep growing. And the reason for that is that WordPress right now, it's used as a content management system, but if it also provides blocks, then developers can use WordPress on a different role, which is to create the layout, the client side for their applications. So then WordPress will become more entrenched in the toolkit for creating websites. And even though WordPress right now is already quite big, you know that Matt Mullenweg was wants to be even bigger, right? Like, So I think this is a potential outcome that could happen, that WordPress becomes the default tool to create sites, not just content management system, as it may be the case right now, but also to create layouts for even static sites, like HTML-based sites that were created with JavaScript. Now you could use WordPress for that, which is something quite new. I mean, you wouldn't think of WordPress to create static HTML sites via JavaScript, but this could be a possibility. Then, if this were to happen, the modern world of developers will come into WordPress. So I'm talking about JavaScript developers, React, Vue, Angular, Svelte. So they might want to become engaged and become contributors. So I was checking the Stack Overflow survey, and currently there are three times more JavaScript developers than PHP developers in the market. So then think about it. If you're suddenly opening up the gates to these guys, you're opening up to potentially three times as many contributors as we have now, right now. I mean, assuming a similar rate of contribution, of course. I mean, this is just pure guessing. But the fact that you're opening the gates to them can only bring good things. Either nothing happens or they come in and they contribute. So this is a potential good outcome. Then you could have blocks available from other parties that you can import into your WordPress site. So if you have an image editor that somebody has created for their own application and they use the block protocol, you can embed it to your WordPress site. The other aspect is that the WordPress editor, or Gutenberg, does not live everywhere on the WordPress site. So right now, when you go to the WP admin, you're interacting with Gutenberg. But in the WordPress site that you're creating as a developer, you don't have Gutenberg there. On the client side, on the site that the visitors are accessing, there's no Gutenberg there. So the implication of that is that it's not so easy to create nice layouts or dynamic functionality using React or using Vue or using whatever else to power the website that your visitors are accessing. So if we had a block protocol, we could create this on a much simpler way, because now Gutenberg will be talking to the WP admin or to the blocks via the block protocol. And this block protocol will be a single API to create websites, whether it is the WP admin, which is already done through Gutenberg, or on the public facing site, that if you're good with React, you can create a React client that talks to the block protocol, and the block protocol will embed the blocks that you already have provided by WordPress. So in a way that you're gaining from what you already have. The idea with this is that you have this set of blocks that they only have a limited use, which is only from within the WP admin. Now you will also make these blocks available to the site, to the public facing site. Some blocks, they make no sense because they are only for editing content in the WP admin. But think of a game. You could develop a block that is a game and you could embed it on the public facing site. So then why not? You could. Or an audio player like this podcast, you could create a block that is a podcast player and you embed it on the site. And it's something that is just, you know, it's one line of code. You just add the block and everything else is already existing. So once again, either you gain or nothing happen. And then I think that blocks could be helpful in the upcoming phase for Gutenberg, phase 3, which is still some time to go, possibly 2023, which is going to be based on collaboration. The idea is to use the WordPress editor to create Google Docs-like experience, to communicate with other people, to collaborate, that you can edit the same document and then you can add comments on the side and you can integrate the comments or the suggestions, you leave feedback. So all of this is going to be the next phase of Gutenberg. As it is now, it can only happen in the WP admin. So if we have the block protocol, all of this could also be brought to the client side. And that would be pretty good because that means that you will not need to log in into the WP admin anymore to collaborate. And for instance, if I have a WordPress site, I don't give access to random people. I just give access to my editors or the writers, right? But what if I want to collect input from normal folks, from visitors? Right now, the only option that I have is comments, but that's not integrated within the editing workflow. So if you had the blog protocol, you could replicate the same workflow, editing workflow experience on the public facing side and allow visitors to give you feedback for collaboration. And then one other aspect that I mentioned in the article is that you can simplify how you render blocks dynamically. Because right now that is an issue that Gutenberg has, which is that you need to create the same logic twice. Once in JavaScript to render the HTML when you're editing the content in the WordPress editor, and once in PHP when you're rendering on the client for the visitor. That's the dynamic content. So that means that the same code has to be coded twice in two different technologies. And for what I have seen in the GitHub issue that was bringing this up, not everyone is comfortable with the two languages. You might be comfortable with JavaScript and not with PHP, or you might be comfortable with PHP and not with JavaScript. So this gives you the alternative to do it only in JavaScript, which is not ideal, because if you do it on PHP, then you can print it on the HTML already, which is better for SEO. But at least you have the possibility to do it. And that, if that were to happen, I believe that more React developers could also be engaged with WordPress, because they don't need to work with PHP anymore. They will be basically working React all the way. And it will still be a WordPress site, which is quite interesting. And yeah, I had one more item to mention, which is that you can bring in developments from outside. So as I was mentioning, I'm working with GraphQL myself. And what has happened with GraphQL is quite interesting, quite remarkable, that you have produced a huge ecosystem of clients and tools which is decoupled from each other. They're not collaborating, they're not talking to each other. But all of these tools, they can operate with each other because they all follow the same specification. So one single case that is quite easy to follow is static documentation of the endpoint that you're creating with GraphQL. I believe that the same can actually happen if we use the blog protocol, that some developer out there can create a tool to create static documentation of the blogs that then you can use to document the blogs for WordPress. And if that were the case, you don't need to develop this in-house. So that means that the WordPress contributors, they can free up their time to do something that is specific to WordPress.
I do like the idea of people being able to access all of the pretty amazing stuff that's been created by the WordPress community already. That seems to be really interesting. If this were to happen, all of that good stuff that's been made would be available elsewhere and not bound distinctly to Gutenberg. But also the idea that you mentioned, and it's somewhat kind of counterintuitive to me, I wouldn't have thought about it, the idea of having all of these blocks on the front end and the notion that you don't need to be logged in. I guess all sorts of complex things that are otherwise out of bounds at the moment suddenly become possible. And so as yet unimagined scenarios potentially will become possible in the future. Further down in your article, you've got a section where you have some nice diagrams, which might be worth the listeners actually going to look at. The section's called Decoupling the WordPress Editor from Gutenberg. And you make the point that at the moment, the block is bound directly to Gutenberg. You know, there's an inextricable link between them, and they need to be decoupled, and the block protocol sits kind of firmly in the middle. Is there a lot of work that would need to be done there in your estimation? Does that feel like a huge leap that would happen anytime soon were this to all be pushed forwards?
I think it's going to be a bit difficult, yes. Not because it is difficult, but because the devil is in the details. You know, I believe this is something that you get completely right, or people will not use it. It has to be perfect. And until you get that level of perfectness, it can take 5 years, like it took with the WordPress editor, with full-site editing, right? Now, I don't think that it will take 5 years, but the idea that something is so simple can still be quite difficult. I think that will be the case. Now, why do I say this? One thing is what I was saying, that WordPress right now only cares about WordPress. But once it connects with the blog protocol, WordPress will need to care about the world. So it cannot do whatever it wants to do. It doesn't have that freedom anymore. It will be constrained by rules. And the block protocol is not set yet. It's a work in progress. Actually, right now it's also a draft. There's no version 1.0. So these guys are coming up with it. And the best way that you have to come up with it, I guess, is by having a real use case example, right? So I don't think they have anything of the sort because it is still the idea. So as you develop an application that uses the block protocol, you will find problems that you have not that you had not foreseen. So what I want to say with this is the idea is magnificent, the concept is great, but I believe that as they implement it, they will keep finding challenges to make it really usable for everyone in a way that it makes sense also. You remember Bootstrap, right? Like the CSS framework. Mm-hmm. When Bootstrap came out, every single website that was using Bootstrap looked the same way. You could customize it, you had different colors, fair enough, but all the websites use the same grid system of 12 columns, and you knew it was a Bootstrap website. So for instance, one of the difficult things here will be, how do we use the block protocol to create blocks that allow you to create a website that is still personal, that is still unique, that it doesn't look like every other website out there? So everyone that wants to use the WordPress blocks, they don't want to look like they're using the WordPress blocks, possibly. They might not want to look cheap. I gave the example of MailChimp before. Imagine if MailChimp is using the WordPress blocks, and then MailChimp looks like a WordPress site. It's like, hey, MailChimp, come on, you are sold for $10 billion USD. What's going on with you? So they have to have personality. And all of those things, they will be a bit difficult to come up with. Fine, you can have CSS on top of it, but the components that you have inside the block. So as we said before, a block is basically a component, a high-level component that is wrapping other components. All of that is fixed inside of the block. If you want to have a different functionality, you will need to add it inside of the block. But you cannot add so much stuff because then the block will be bloated. So then it has to be lean. But you still want to have personality, that you have to have a functionality that no other website has, etc. So what I want to say is, let's see how it goes, but I don't think it's going to be easy, to be honest.
Yeah, it feels like it might be a bit of an uphill struggle. We mentioned just before we pressed record on this podcast, it to some extent, it brings to mind an XKCD cartoon. I will make sure to link to this in the show notes, but there's a wonderful cartoon on XKCD where they say, the situation is there are currently 14 competing standards. Well, this is ridiculous. We need to develop a universal standard that everybody is covered by, that sorts out all use cases. And then soon after that, it says, well, the actual situation after that is there are now 15 competing standards.
Exactly.
And I wonder if we revisited this conversation in a couple of years' time, whether or not this would have taken time to move forward. Because obviously, you know, the resources to create the Gutenberg project and to push it forward are very limited. It's like you say, it took 5 years to do where we've got to so far. And I suspect that if we were to rewind to 5 years ago, the expectation would be that it had got a little bit further by then. So I guess I'm just nervous that it might end up being a bit of a dead end, possibly, and end up consuming a lot of time. The devil, as you say, would be in the detail.
I'm actually hopeful because I think the block protocol is the first attempt to make this. Now, it is true what you were saying, XKCD, that you have all of these different blocks implemented by different parties, but nobody's trying to interact with any other block or any other application out there. So this is the first guy who is trying to say, let's get all the blocks communicate. So in a way, it has credit. Okay, it's not so dire, the situation yet. And I'm also quite hopeful because of what happened with GraphQL. That is a specification that, but just by complying with the specification, great things may happen. So what I want to say with this is that the block protocol, you develop it, you put it out there, and you let the community react. And they might actually react in ways that you had not foreseen in advance. They can surprise you. You can actually create magic out of this. That you don't need to coordinate different teams to work together. With the protocol, you're basically working together. And in this case, what you're actually doing is having WordPress be used by the world outside of WordPress. And at the same time, you have WordPress being able to reach out to code that was not coded for WordPress. So the potential is so good that even though the path ahead may look rocky, it may look difficult, I think it's utterly worth pursuing. It depends on the interest from the community. I don't know if the community is interested, to be honest. If you're from WordPress, maybe there's not so much for you to gain from this if all you see is WordPress. If you have WordPress now and you only plan to use WordPress forever more, yeah, maybe there's not so much for you. But if you are open-minded of thinking, hey, unexpected things could happen from this, then you can get really excited about this. I'm particularly excited myself.
Good. Yeah, that's great. One of the things you mentioned a little while ago was the fact that at the moment WordPress is kind of inward facing. You know, the Gutenberg, the output of Gutenberg and all of the things that are inside of Gutenberg, WordPress only needs to worry about WordPress. So that's kind of looking inside to what the project needs to achieve for its own goals of democratizing publishing. Do you feel that the fact that if it turned outwards and integrated with the block protocol and thereby had to kind of obey the standards that brought with it, are there any drawbacks to that? Or are there any situations you can imagine where there would be a conflict of interest or things would become more difficult or more time consuming or just not done in a way that they're done so far that might cause things to stall?
I think the biggest drawback might be that the world out there doesn't care about this, and you're spending your energy to invite them, to welcome them, and nobody cares and nobody comes in, and so it was a lot of wasted effort. Of course, I mean, that's always the case with everything. Like, whatever you do an open source project, people might show up or they might not, and the effort for you was the same. The thing is that you have to do it because you have a real use case, that if you're going to do it, it's because you know that you will benefit. If this is just a proposition that you think, okay, this looks good, let's try, and you invest a lot of energy to invite others to come in, and then the community out there, they're like, yeah, I don't care, WordPress. I'm happy with what I'm using right now. You know, they moved on to different technologies, and you're trying to convince others, and they don't care, then... Yeah, I think that's the biggest issue, that if we're going to do this, there has to be a clear-cut use case for WordPress to benefit. Now, I did try to say several use cases in my article, but of course, I mean, I'm dreaming of sorts. If you have an application that can reuse blocks across two different technologies, for instance, WordPress and something else, and you already have that. So, for instance, okay, you have a technology, a company like Stripe, that they need to cater to different technologies. They cater to PHP, they cater to JavaScript, to Go, and to everything else, because they provide APIs to connect with them. And they have an interface that they maybe have different applications powered by different technologies. Then they will certainly benefit. So we need to be sure that when we go forward with this idea, that we have a real use case that we wanted, and that we're not trying to impress all the time to somebody else, and then they don't get excited, they don't come in, and it was wasted effort. I think that's the biggest potential drawback. Conflict of interest, as you mentioned, I don't know. I don't think so. I haven't thought about it, but Matt Mullen's way was to make the open web open. Just now, he bought this Openverse.
Oh, the Openverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you might actually think conflict of interest. Yeah, I'm sure he will have conflict of interest, but it doesn't stop him. As in, if he has to give something for free that will compete with some paid commercial product out there, he will do it anyway. I cannot think of a conflict of interest in this case, but I don't think that would be reason enough to not do it, at least based on previous experiences.
When we are recording this, which is in March 2022, as far as I'm aware, there's been no more public outpourings of whether this will go on. The Twitter debate, not debate, the Twitter thread that was begun between Matt and Joel, I don't think it's been updated too much. Do you have any insight, or is it exactly where we were a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I don't have any insight. I believe that we are where we were.
Yep.
I wrote the article on smashing in part to try to start this conversation with the community. And yeah, they need to take it up. I keep checking the blog protocol, the project and the website. They are still developing it, but once again, it's still a draft. So you can expect this to take a long time, many months still. So this might actually be slow, and it might be a slow and steady process, I believe.
Well, so be it, if that's the way it needs to be. It's really, really interesting project. You'll find all of the links that we mentioned in the show notes. You also talked about the fact that it would be nice to get this conversation begun. That's why you wrote the piece. With that in mind, is there anywhere that you make yourself available, perhaps a Twitter account or some email address or public-facing website? Is there a particular place that you would like to mention where we could find you?
All right. Yeah, my Twitter is my surname, which is Losovis, and my personal website is leoloso.com. And then my plugin is graphql-api.com. And then, yeah, basically I'm always around, and I like email. I'm not so big on social media myself. I don't participate so much. You will not see me really on Twitter, but if you send an email to me, which you can do through my personal website, I will certainly reply.
Thank you very much, Leonardo, for joining us on the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much, Nathan. Very, very happy that you invited me.